This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
The following program, The John and Gordy Morning Show, is brought to you by John Peterson and Gordy Young, a wholly owned subsidiary of John and Gordy Productions, in association with Civic Media and the John and Gordy Company, Incorporated International. And now, here they are, John and Gordy. We're sorry.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning, and a fantastic good morning to you.
Good morning. It's Monday, December 23rd, and weather today, you know, it's anybody's guess. I have no idea what's going on.
I know somebody should have opened the blinds this morning, and we have absolutely no way of knowing what's going on outside.
You think we're going to have a white Christmas? Last week, Brittany Merlot told us that she wasn't too sure about it.
She's hedging her bets. She said, you know, a week or two ago, definitely going to be a white Christmas. She's been backing away from that prediction.
She has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, really, I have no idea. And I can't, for some reason, the shades won't open here.
I know.
We're doing the show blindfolded, actually.
We can't look outside.
No. Temperature, could be cold, could be hot. I don't know. It was kind of chilly when I came in. Could be 75 degrees. We wouldn't know it. Because you know why?
It's nice in here.
We're taping the show in advance.
Oh, that's why.
That's why.
Okay.
Let's be truthful with our audience. Let's tell the truth. You know? We're doing this a few days in advance.
Well, now I feel so like we can have a liar.
We're taking the whole week off, in fact. Right?
Yes, we are.
Aren't
finally.
What? That's unheard of in radio.
It is. But we figure out a way. Yeah.
It only took us 40 years to learn how to do this.
We didn't know. We could have done this all along. You know, recorded everything. But yeah,
they didn't have tape decks back then, and
forge ahead.
How big would a tape spool need to be in order to run for 5 days straight?
I think they make something like that. No, you'd have to have somebody babysitting the automation.
All right,
Still have to have somebody.
You used to do that. That's how you got your start in radio.
That was the first job I had.
Yeah. Watch these the big tape spools and a big machine with four different tape decks on it.
Yes.
And then they had a kind of analog device that was controlling the tape machines.
Yeah.
And usually it would work just fine.
Taking the tones.
Until the tape started messing up. You know, it could get twisted.
Oh.
It could get broken.
If the machine ate it or something?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so those were the kind of problems you dealt with back then.
And if there's a delay,
then
the time is off.
Yes.
Because sometimes they throw the time in.
Right.
And it was bad. I mean, there were a lot of little problems that could take place, which I ignored, by the way, in my very first job, watching those tape decks
roll.
Well,
you did it in the middle of the night. Who was listening to the radio in the middle of the night?
Nobody. Right.
And I was in Waupun, where they have a prison.
Yeah.
Who cared, right?
Yeah. You had a captive audience listening to you, though,
exactly.
If they were on your station.
Yeah, screw you.
Yeah, I worked at the Pyar Square building, and they had that big, this used to be WOLX, but it was, at that time, it was called WNIT or NLT or something.
Yeah.
They switched the call letters, but they had one of those big automated tape machine deals with four big reel-to-reels, and I worked the Saturday night shift from 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. all the way till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
A nine-hour shift. And then I shut the transmitter off so they could do maintenance.
Wow.
But I was there one very, very cold January morning, and I had a beater car. And I would have my Walkman, and I would listen to the show and go down and start my car every couple hours because I knew if it was sat down there for 9 hours, it wasn't going to start at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be screwed. This is before cell phones, by the way. So I had it set up, so I'd line up a few of the tapes, play two or three songs, go downstairs, start the car, come back up, get ready, play a few more songs, go down 20 minutes later, shut the car off.
You game the system.
I did. But then one night I went down there, went back into the elevator. The elevator would not go to the top floor where the station was.
What?
It was a locked security thing, and I had the key. Turned the key, nothing happened. I'm sitting there on the ground floor going, listening to the last song run out, going, what am I going to do? Yeah. I can't go up the stairs. Wow. Stairs are locked. I would keep doing it. I finally hit the basement button, so the elevator would drop a floor, and that actually worked. And that cleared the system, and then I got back upstairs. Well, I think we were off the air for like 20, 30 minutes.
Wow.
Nobody called. No buzzers went off. Nothing. Yeah. Now the truth can be told. Went back on the air like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Never wrote it up on the log. Try and get me, FCC.
Wow.
Try and get
They're still looking for you, man.
They're still looking
for
you.
They have your posters up all over.
Ah, the old days.
In the post office. You better not go into those post offices.
Nope.
By the way, just kind of a note here, Magic 98 was all automated.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
all
that.
They were tapes.
Sounded live.
Well, yeah. Bill Vansell was really good at making it sound live.
He was a great guy.
But then, you know, they went live in person announcing, and that was it.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Yeah.
Early automation.
Yeah.
You missed it all, Sam.
Long before my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, should we get to the National Day calendar? Because we can actually look ahead on the calendar and see what day that we're celebrating today. All right. What? National Day
December
calendar.
December 23rd.
This is so exciting.
I know. It's National Roots Day. Each year during the holidays, it's an ideal time to collect family information. Because, you know, you want to sit down and talk to your family about previous generations that are all dead.
Wow.
While families gather around the table telling stories and sharing memories, someone is sure to be the family historian. It's entirely possible as a grandparent or you know, maybe an aunt or an uncle who's ready to start telling all about all the family members that have passed away. Because that's a way to bring the whole family together, you know, next to the fireplace.
Everybody happy.
You got the eggnog going, you know, why not? You gather some photos, you know, you remember photographs? You know, those things that pieces of paper
pass them around and stuff like that.
Yeah, and some of them are labeled. You know, they have memories on them. Most of them are not. Most of them are not really in very good shape. But you can look at them and see talk about who that is. You know, great Aunt Martha or Uncle Eddie.
Yeah.
You know what was weird with them.
You know, speaking of photos, over the weekend I experienced a slideshow for the first time. Like an old-fashioned pull-out-the-Kodak slide projector.
You never saw a slideshow before?
No. I shot a roll of slides earlier this fall when I was at an apple orchard with Sophia, and they just came back in the mail and was projecting them up on the wall.
Where'd you get the projector?
I got it at Dig and Save in town.
Dig and Save?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you familiar? Dig and Save?
It's down on Park Street, South Park Street. Where you can just like dig through bins of stuff.
That's
and
right.
You pay by the pound for whatever you find.
They got a lot of stuff there. That's really
cool. Yeah. I got to check that out.
So you got a slide projector there. Wow.
Yes.
It cost a lot of money at one time, but.
Those are fun. That's
true. I paid something like $7 for this.
Wow.
You know, this is going to sound kind of backward, but, you know, slides really retain their color and clarity for a long time. And that's the one great thing about slides.
Yeah. Like Kodachrome color. Yeah.
Yeah.
Extra color. Some kind. Yeah, very vivid.
Always.
Yeah. This is also National Pfeffernussi Day. What do you think? How do you pronounce that?
Pfeffernuss?
I remember us last year talking about how to pronounce this word. A year ago, we were also arguing over how to pronounce this.
Pfeffernuss?
I think it's Pfeffernuss, yes.
Yeah.
It's a German spice cookie.
That's right.
Very popular around the holidays.
It tastes like a ginger cookie.
Okay.
Ginger snap.
Pfeffernuss are fluffy cookies made with ground nuts and spices and covered in powdered sugar. Okay. So happy Pfeffernuss Day.
Oh,
I could go on and on. There's a long explanation about it. But I don't really care. And we don't have that much time. We got some time. You know, our timer has expired here. Okay.
There it is.
It has not expired.
Oh, there it is. Oh, okay. We still have. Hey, it's Festivus Day. We can thank the Seinfeld folks. For Pfeffernuss. It was part of an episode, the holiday episode in 1997, Festivus, when Frank Costanza, played by Jerry Stiller, Ben Stiller's dad, explains he invented a holiday, a Festivus, for the rest of us. in response to commercialism of Christmas. People still do this.
They really enjoy, they do celebrate Festivus Day.
For the airing of grievances, right?
The airing of grievances is all a part of it. Or you can also adorn an aluminum Festivus pole. It's a Festivus pole, not a tree. Traditional dinner in the evening. The airing of grievances is all part of it. That's during the dinner, actually. Each person takes turn describing how others have disappointed him or her over the past year. Feats of strength follow the dinner. And then the Festivus miracle, a frequent, if unimpressive, miracle you cite.
You said Jerry Stiller, right?
Jerry Stiller, yeah.
And, you know, you can just imagine him complaining endlessly about everything. So I can see why I love Festivus Day.
He was great in that show, and then even better in King of Queens.
Yeah.
You ever see that? With Kevin, what's his name?
Yeah.
Kevin.
But Stiller and Mira.
And Mira and Jerry Stiller used to appear on
great comedy team.
The Ed Sullivan Show quite a bit. What was Kevin James?
Kevin James,
right?
Yep.
Yeah, King of Queens. He was really great in that show as the father-in-law that lived in the basement. And it was great because he'd just get angry about something every show.
He's one of the great complainers of all time.
He's an original curmudgeon.
He was in a Tales of the Dark Side.
Yeah.
You know, the compilation series where they had all these weird horror stories.
Good stuff.
He was in one episode where he played a radio announcer, a talk show host, who was actually Satan. And
yes.
And he gave Satan advice.
Oh.
I can't remember the actual plot of the show, but it was, he played a great Satan.
That's Jerry Stiller.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What show was that?
You know, Tales from the Dark Side.
Okay, yeah. Was that the Rod Serling show?
That
was Night Gallery.
Night Gallery.
Yeah, that was a great show, too. Okay. All right. There's one more day for December 23rd. It's Forefathers Day, a day that we salute all of our forefathers, wherever they may be.
Our forefathers
and mothers. What?
Yeah. Our four dads.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
There's four of them, right? That's four fathers, yeah.
Ah, I see where you're going there. This is spelled F-O-R-E, forefathers. Okay?
And if you don't know who your forefathers are,
I don't know. Yeah, it actually commemorates the landing of the Pilgrim Fathers in Plymouth, Massachusetts on December 21st, 1620. They still have the Plymouth Rock there. It's always covered with litter and garbage. I can check it out sometime. All right.
Makes me want to go.
Well, we are going to continue with our show for December 23rd, Monday.
Happy holiday edition.
Yeah. Coming back with more of John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning, a special holiday program.
Yes, happy holidays. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress, where you can sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. They're available on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com.
If I ask Santa for a Verlo mattress, do you think he'll bring one to me for Christmas?
Well, have you been a good boy all year long?
No.
You've been very naughty lately.
you guys have rubbed off on me in the wrong way. You guys described yourselves as the bad boys of radio back in the day.
Yeah. Well, they're afraid of us.
Well, you know, that's, again, Santa is the judge on that.
You're right. Santa makes that judgment up to us.
You know, there was one year where my brother actually asked for coal for Christmas.
Coal?
Yeah.
Just to see if if that would happen.
It's actually kind of funny. He was getting into blacksmithing, and he needed coal in order to heat up his metal. Yes. And Santa actually brought him coal.
Pretty cool.
Like a few 5-gallon buckets of it.
Pretty cool. Charcoal?
No, like actual coal.
Where do you buy coal anyway?
It's pretty coal.
I think Santa found it on Craigslist somewhere.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, here it is, Monday, December 23rd, couple of days till Christmas.
You know, there is a story. I think it ran on Saturday Night Live as an animated cartoon. And I think it was the story of, I can't remember the name of the piece of coal, but it was a special piece of coal that Santa just loved so much. And coal was so happy to be a part of Santa's gift giving. And he didn't realize until the last moment that he was a penalty. He was a bad gift.
Oh,
and
that's sad.
It was a pretty cool song. We might even be able to bring that in sometime during our holiday festive season.
I like it.
All right, that's
great. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So,
what do we have?
It's time to get into the history books, isn't it?
Yes. Let's get into it.
Yes.
Oh, dust has been building up over the weekend.
Okay. Here we go.
Deal with this.
Phlegm.
All right.
I'm worried for Thursday if there's going to be a bunch of coal dust on the book. That's going to be particularly bad.
Well, there's going to be a lot of wrapping paper on it, I'm sure.
You're right. Paper dust.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Okay.
Well, what happened on this day in history?
Let's take a look. Today in 1888, Vincent van Gogh cut off his ear.
It's happy. Let's celebrate that.
Well, when I was a kid, that's all I remembered about him was he was the artist who cut off his ear.
That's true.
True dedication. Yeah. He was an incredible artist. During his lifetime, he was not nearly as celebrated as he is now. And
because of that, and also
like on the side, he struggled with mental health and led him to do this crazy thing. Unfortunately,
did he try to sew the ear back on?
I sure hope not. That'd be a little odd.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what else?
Let's see.
Go on.
We're running out of time.
We're not running out of time. We got a couple minutes before we got our special little treat here.
All right.
Okay.
Today in 1970, the World Trade Center's North Tower was completed.
After
only a few years of construction, they built it really fast. Mm. Then also the world's largest or world's tallest building, excuse me.
Right.
And then in 1923, in Troy, New York, the newspaper there, the Sentinel, published for the first time the night before Christmas.
Oh, yes. Holiday favorite.
That's lasted through the years.
It's really such a classic.
Yeah.
It's had a number of different versions.
Mm-hmm.
We have a special version for you. It's
we do?
A little more adult.
Where did we find this?
Is this clean to play on the air, John?
It's kind of clean, but it's Second City TV.
Where did
Catherine O'Hara, and she does this character, Dusty Towns.
Oh, okay.
And check it out. Let's
hear
it. Best Christmas gift yet. It was the night before Christmas, went all through the house. I could hear something stirring. It was my husband, that louse. I screamed down the stairs, jacket, back to this bed, but heard not a word from the weasel I wed. So I slipped on my house coat and stockings with care, but except for those items, my body was bare. I scoured the whole house, but my search was in vain, and visions of homicide danced through my brain. When out on the lawn there arose such a sound, I ran to the door and tore open my gown. The moon on my breast and the new-fallen snow gave the luster of youth that I had long ago. When what to my baby blue eyes should appear but a man dressed in red from his head to his rear. From the leer in his eye to the hump in his back, I knew in a flash that it must be my Jack. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called me by name. Now, Dusty, now, Dusty, now, Dusty, please, Dusty, now, Dusty, oh, Dusty, please, Dusty, now, Dusty. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His legs were like fir trees, his chest was so hairy. But a wink of his eye and a jerk of his head soon gave me to know I had something to dread. He stood there just smiling and rubbing his nose, so I gave him the nod, and up the staircase he rose. He sprang to the bedroom and whistled so sweet that I followed his call like a heifer in heat. And you could hear us both scream as we dove undercover. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good lover.
There you go. That's the classic version of it.
Ah, that's great.
Yeah. That was a good show.
Yeah, that was terrific. SCTV. Yeah, they really were great.
They were fantastic.
That was a wonderful show.
You know, you're just watching Second City TV, and it is SETV. It was a network.
Right.
It was a phony, fake network that you could just tune into and just escape reality.
Whatever happened to SCTV? Did they, like, just kind of go down in quality, or did they get yanked off the air for something?
I think their contract wasn't renewed. It was some network, ABC or
big
NBC.
Mistake. Well, they were, big mistake.
They were syndicated, and for a while they put a show. You know, it was from Canada. So it was a big show in Canada before it ever came to America. But then they tried to put it on NBC or one of the other big networks, and it lasted a couple of seasons.
Expired.
And it just didn't
And the ratings weren't there for it. Yeah. So
people just didn't get it.
But happy ending.
Yeah.
They were picked up by HBO.
Oh, yeah.
And they had one season on HBO, which was just absolutely classic and almost impossible to find, mm-hmm. but you can, I think, find some of the clips. Six Gun Justice was on there. It was a, it's based on the old serial, silent serials.
Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy.
Yes.
Who would later appear on Schitt's Creek. And let's see, who else was
Joe Flaherty,
John Candy, of course.
Yep,
and a few others that I can't remember. Right? Oh man,
Candy played Johnny LaRue,
and he
had a
Martin Short was on there.
SCTV required Johnny LaRue to go out to the streets.
Yes,
in a bit called Street Beef, and he talked to people and what's your beef? That was good stuff.
That was it. All right, we got to move along here.
We do.
Yes, coming up next, we have our friends from Busted Pencils right around the corner on John and Gordy on this Monday morning.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Listen to John and Gordy in the Morning, followed immediately by me, a true broadcast veteran, Stephanie Miller, on 92.7 WMDS.
We've been doing it for about as many years as Stephanie.
I think so, yeah.
But, you know, she's got the national stage. That's okay. We don't have a traveling show or anything like that.
Sexy
liberals.
On it,
what the heck.
That's not.
That's okay.
You guys are sexy.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Thanks, Tim. You know? Appreciate that. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's East or West Sides or online at Verlo.com.
As usual, every Thursday morning at this time, we check in with Busted Pencils' Tim Slecker. Thanks for being here this morning. We have so much to talk about. So many little things. Yeah, I know.
lots of little things.
I know. This morning I was checking out the news, and there is two Massachusetts families. They filed a lawsuit just Wednesday challenging deceptive and fraudulent marketing of literacy curricula by several companies in Massachusetts state court. The whole point here is the lawsuit filed alleges literacy curriculum companies peddled products that deceptively and harmfully excluded meaningful phonics instruction, the one thing essential to literacy success. What do you think, Tim?
What? You okay?
We've talked about this. This is the science of reading shtick. And actually, you know, we we're very happy that we get to talk to Dr. Nancy Carlson Page once a month. That's Matt Damon's mom.
Oh, yeah.
Who happens to be a literacy expert, early childhood expert, and is from Boston, from the Massachusetts area, and points out that this movement to essentially now go after curriculum, and the main curriculum is Lucy Calkins, and it was called Balanced Literacy. And the idea behind this is that students need to learn the words, learn the letters, learn the sounds. They also need to see words in context, and they should be able to use the pictures that they're looking at to actually help them determine what they're reading, and that they should really read texts too that also have meaning instead of just designed to check your grade level. And now all of a sudden we've got this like we've discovered gold, that it's they've now decided to call it the Science of Reading, and it's essentially a phonics only curriculum. And they've now launched this attack that kids now can't read because occasionally they were using balanced literacy where teachers asked the kids to occasionally sound out or guess at words or look at pictures to help them make decisions. All the things you do when you're learning to read is now against the law. And so, yeah, we're coming after this. But Dr. Nancy Carlson Page points out that, the research on using multiple ways for kids to learn to read is still solid. But there's a lot of push, though, in some of these curriculum companies. I think we may have even started it, but there are states in my state of Ohio. If a teacher or a college uses now literacy curriculum that isn't on the approved list, you can have your license revoked and your ability to grant teaching licenses as a college removed. I mean, this is like weird, oppressive crap. But yeah, I just saw that, though, where these parents now are suing. My kids can't read because the teachers taught my kids how to not read. That's essentially the you know, and the teachers may have been okay, but they had a bad curriculum, and that curriculum should have never been.
It says here the suit seeks substantial relief for students harmed by the literacy curriculum, a court order requiring the companies to warn schools and families of the defects in their products and more. Crazy stuff.
Defective products, defective literacy curriculum. Not to spend a whole lot of time, but teaching and learning to read, you know, which is a very essential component, particularly of early childhood, you know, kindergarten, first grade, where we are learning, you know, how letters make sounds, how words come together, how sentences make points and sense. And you could have, mostly everybody remembers this, you know, find the main idea. Jill was wearing a red hat. What color was Jill's hat? Oh, it was red. I mean, all of these things like that. What does the letter C say? The letter C says K. What does the letter A say? Ah. What does the letter T say? Cat. Cat. Oh, okay. All of this comes together. And guess what? Some kids learn to read sometimes just by having them read to.
Right.
Leads them to understanding. Some kids need actually really direct instruction on saying this letter makes this sound and putting those together.
Right.
And the reality is that there's no one single curriculum, no one single approach to teaching literacy that is a universal, this works and that doesn't work. They all kind of work depending on the kid. They all kind of don't work depending on the kid. It just has so many variables that go into teaching people how to read, because teaching how to read is a really complicated, incredibly challenging task. When you think about what's happening there, you've got little squiggly representations that somehow make sounds, that somehow make words, that somehow make sentences, that somehow make paragraphs, that create a language. And so this is a really complex endeavor, learning to read. Right here, though, now this whole idea that we're going to, you know, become millionaires. Well, maybe this is, darn it, I missed out. Maybe I can have my kids now say they can't read and I can sue for a couple $1 million.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah.
You know, crazy stuff.
Not yet. But what you're saying is all of these elements are included in teaching children how to read, not just one. And this lawsuit is trying to just make it phonics. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, when you look at what they're calling the science of reading, it is a majority of phonics. And again, there's no complaints mm-hmm. in saying that you should learn that. Yes, we should learn what the letters sound like.
Right.
And which was balanced literacy. Mm-hmm. You hear the term balanced. So kids got phonics. Yep. Kids got picture books.
Exactly.
Kids, it was yeah. balanced.
Tim, what about writing cursive? Is that going the way of the? I mean, really, is that still taught, or is that just an ancient history now?
No, that is, you know, that's an interesting issue because it really isn't taught as a direct instruction anymore where kids learn how to write cursive, learn how to print. I mean, they're still printing. See, Sam's jumping in there now.
Please, Sam, what?
Well, okay, so I'm 23. I of course, like, learned how to print. You learned how to write. But for cursive, we spent about 2 weeks on it.
That's it.
In third grade, and that's about all that we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't write.
They don't
cursive.
Spend a lot of time. Wait, just so you can read somebody's signature, basically.
Yeah. How do you sign a document? I mean, come on. Really?
Well,
cursive?
I've kind of, like, developed a signature. It's not exactly cursive. And I can read printing. Cursive with difficulty, well, but I
really?
Can't write it.
Well, signatures are now allowed with print. I mean, you
okay.
can print.
Yeah.
Now.
Sign you have electronic signatures. It's yeah, an yeah. interesting. I mean, this is really interesting because you bring up some topics. You know, there are some people saying, you know, for example, how can you read historical documents?
Right.
You know, that were written in cursive, handwritten letters. That's a skill now. You know, I've recently heard, and I understand what they're saying is that. You know, the AI technology now can read cursive, so as long as the kid has their AI attached to them, no problem, you know? It can read.
Wow.
I don't know how to feel about this one because, yeah. you know what, yeah, I know how to print, I know how to write, I know how to read, you know, I know how to type, I know how yeah. to do all those things, and I feel like it's pretty important to know all of them, but it is interesting what Sam points out, which is, you know, and again, it's, think about Sam at his age and now kids in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, they really are not being taught cursive handwriting. They're just not. And so what does that mean? It's yeah, I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah. I don't know where to go with it either. I just think that, you know, I mean, most of the cursive handwriting, my mom wrote many years ago. I can't read anyway. And I know well, cursive.
You know? Well, I remember when we were kids in you know, say second, third, fourth grade, mm-hmm. you learned how to, you know, write cursive and then write a letter, like write a letter
right.
to your mom
yeah.
and dad,
yes.
write a letter, you know, there was yeah. a form to yeah. write, you know, put the date at the top, dear whoever, there was a, you know, yeah. whatever you're wanting to say, and then you sign into the bottom. There was a form that you had to do and learn to do that. That's apparently gone.
It's gone now.
Gone.
Yeah. yeah.
That's gone,
yeah,
you know. I mean, it's a
just
lost
do an email,
art
you
now.
Know.
Yeah, do an email. You know what? Dictate what it is you want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Put it into the computer and then use a cursive font. There you go.
That's the shortcut.
Got it.
Well, I kind of like that one. Technology hey, that, is so that, wonderful.
So yeah. you know, when you, I'm sure you guys then too, you know, when you were learning to do cursive, you also part of the grading by your teachers was whether or not you were neat
oh, yes.
or not with your cursive. Mm-hmm. Well, just think now, you know, mm-hmm. cursive font. You can now get that A+ for neatness.
Great.
Okay. Yeah, I remember the lined paper, you know, you always
yes,
had to
the,
make
exactly.
the double make, lined paper. Yeah,
yeah, you had to make sure the letters went up
oh,
to that,
man.
The small letters went up that line. And,
yeah.
yeah, it was
yeah.
kind of fun. All right, well, why don't we get into something a little more controversial at this point? Because, you know, we have an elected president, Trump, and he's pushing privatizing schools across the nation and even changing curriculum across the nation as well.
Sure.
And at the same time, we've got local elections rejecting privatizing schools. So
right.
We're in a very weird moment. And I think you had a guest on, Bill Ayer, social justice educator, as you describe him, an activist. He kind of described this whole thing as well and named it kind of a contradiction. The public is looking at it in a contradictory way. Could you explain what happened on your last podcast that you have out there?
Well, I mean, Bill Ayers, great guy. And anybody out there going, the Bill Ayers?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. The yeah. Bill Ayers?
It's a guy that made Obama an evil person.
Yeah, that's
right. It's controversial. Yes, that Bill Ayers, the Weather Underground, Vietnam, and different things like that. But went on to be a teacher and a professor of education, wrote an incredibly awesome book that actually a lot of us in teacher education have our beginning teachers read called To Teach. And it's powerful stuff. He's an incredibly gifted speaker, and his ability to, you know, even disarm people who vehemently disagree with him is something I've got to watch and see many times. In fact, my first connection when I was within the Penn State system, I brought Bill to speak on campus, and there were news articles and people protesting that he was coming. Mm-hmm. And there were these three guys who came, duck hunters, all wearing camouflage, ready, just ready to take him down for being a communist and all these things. He talked to the three of them, and they literally looked at me and said, I think we agree with him. It's that Bill Ayers. But the contradiction, and I think that's a great way to look at it, is to say, let's just use where we really saw this, and we did a show on this with a guy who went down, rural Kentucky, where they voted 80% of the voters voted for President Trump, but when it came to vouchers, they voted no on vouchers. 74% people voted against vouchers. And you say, how did they vote in favor of their public schools and then vote for President Trump, who has put forward a national voucher movement, and say, yeah, that's a contradiction, because you're going like, wait, you love your public school, you don't want but you voted for President Trump. Explain that to me. Yeah. We think we've kind of figured that out in an interesting way. So I know we're coming up on that. So think about that, and maybe we can try to answer that.
Yes.
After the break.
We will continue with Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils on John and Gordy in the Morning.
Anything. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
A reading rainbow.
A reading rainbow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX, the John and Gordy in the Morning Show. We're talking to Busted Pencils, Dr. Tim Slecker, and in just a moment, I want to first talk about Reading Rainbow. You played a song, Reading Rainbow, into this break. And you mentioned something very interesting about Reading Rainbow. Look, I thought it was one of the great programs I watched with my kids. And very emotional.
LeVar Burton.
Incredible. They were really, really memorable shows. Mm-hmm. But what was the thing you were talking about? They don't want anybody to see this? Or
Jordy LaForge too, LeVar Burton.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah, Reading Rainbow. I mean, when I was student teaching, we would wheel it in, in second grade, and it was always part of the second grade mentor teacher I was working with. It was part of literacy instruction, and this is the insanity of the science of reading, but that is considered now, not worthy of helping kids learn to read. And it is been pushed by extreme science of reading people that they don't think anybody should be allowed to watch Reading Rainbow anymore.
Wow.
What's going on?
Weird.
Well, because they really dig into the stories and the emotions and the feelings.
Yeah.
All the reasons you read.
Right. Nice lead, and thank you.
It's so distracting from learning how to read when you start getting into the meaning of reading, darn it.
Yeah.
Well, and they want to cut more funding for PBS. I mean, that's been dwindling over the years, but they want to get rid of it.
Yeah, they talked to Speaker Mike Johnson, and Mike Johnson said, yep, we're going to cut that.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't know why they're so possessed to cut that. It's just
teachers,
ridiculous.
You know, I worked at a PBS station for 3 or 4 years, and teachers, I mean, they have a whole education department in PBS stations, and with a lot of support and a lot of stuff. Resources for teachers to use in the classroom. And, you know, even, well, 10 years ago when I worked there, they were already cutting federal funding. Every time the Republicans got in charge, they want to cut
right.
for PBS. Because, you know.
Well, you know, because you create the a tax cut for a wealthy person, and they're much happier funding public television. You know, billionaires, give them the right tax break, and they will fund all the things we need.
That's right.
Oh,
and
sure.
Then, of course, you know, hold that funding if you don't do what they want. And then finding that out at colleges. Well, let's get into what we were talking about prior to that, and that is the contradiction.
Yeah,
moment where you know, Trump wants to go private, and other local people don't want private. They want to support their public schools.
Yeah, they support their public schools, and you know, one way to kind of look at that is first, again, you're talking about your neighbors here that, you know, aren't really necessarily political activists, and when you did hear Trump's advocacy for public education, he actually really spent most of his time talking about sending it back to the states, sending it back to the localities. And if you listen to that, that actually sounds, you know, kind of important, because these are what the people were saying when they voted for their public school. They're very much voting and saying, they're our kids, they're our towns, they're our schools. We want that. And so there's kind of a message where they're hearing President-elect Trump saying, we're going to send it back to the states. We're going to make it local. Where that, in one way, there's not a conflict in that vision as they're hearing that. And so they vote in favor of that. The other part of it, though, too, is that, you know, what is it about, you know, well, our schools don't teach woke ideology. Our teachers don't do that. So we're fine. We don't want to lose our kids in our schools. Lots of mixed messages and contradictions. And guess what? I'm going to put most of the blame on this, though, too, and this was an issue that the Democrats continued to lose out the opportunity to harness blue collar people in their mission for a populist mission, where people say, when you have 74% of a Republican bright red state voting in favor of public schools, and you as the challenger don't run on a pro public school platform, you are losing out. And instead, you know, you kind of put forward the typical, we're going to, you know, we want to get test scores up. We want to eliminate the achievement gap. Nobody locally hears that as going, oh my God, I want to get behind that. But when you talk about taking something away that people value and or putting it, and so Democrats missed out. And then the other part, they could have easily pointed out the contradiction there, which was saying, wait, you're voting for a guy who has said he wants to do away with your local public schools. Again, you know, I'm going to put most of this on Democrats' inability to recognize the power of a populist movement that puts public education at part of that way of saying, this is what we stand for. We stand for communities. We stand for public education. We stand for democracy. This is the Democrats' fault.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Tim, it wouldn't be a busted pencil broadcast without Mark. A comment from Mark. Can we get
Mark
on the
line
real quick here? Let's listen to it. Mark, what do you got?
Yeah, thanks. Well, first on the whole script, I mean, I can remember in grade school with the script being above the printed alphabet or below what I can't. But they actually taught us how to do that. And part of the whole thing, we have a national national program for education, is I think part of it, like especially for science, that when the Russians, you know, got ahead of us in the space race, I mean, the government took an active role and said, we have to, you know, make our children ready to, you know, and I'm part of that generation to, you know, compete on a worldwide stage, you know, because all these other nations have national health.
They do.
National education programs.
Right. Yeah.
And this whole movement to eliminate script, and I mean that's how we lost how to read cuneiform for goodness sakes, because not everybody, you know, they stopped teaching that.
Mark, thank you.
We had to relearn that.
We're up against time, but we had to get you on real quick here, and Tim, thanks for joining us today.
Always love it.
Busted Pencils, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, drops new podcast at civicmedia.us.
That's right.
Also,
yes.
Saturday afternoons on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tim, thank you.
Yeah.
Talk to you next
Great
week.
Great show on Saturday coming up. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Back with more of John and Gordy in a moment.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.